Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, we were all building up to Nick Kyrgios against Roger Federer, and frankly, that didn't amount to much, Catherine Whittaker. This is the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Amazon Prime Video UK, the home of the US Open in the UK. Catherine has been presenting for them all day long, talking about the tennis. But, that one didn't exactly catch fire in quite the way we thought it would.
I think it's kind of did for people that just love to feast on Federer exhibition tennis, because that is what it turned into. But I think most people were looking to that match for thrills and drama, and it, for me, it didn't. I suppose 3-all love 40 in the first set. Up until that point it did, and then Federer held, and then it was just all Federer. Relative to expectations, which were that 8 of their previous 9 sets had gone to tiebreaks and all of their 3 matches had gone to deciding set tiebreaks, I mean, a massive disappointment relative to expectations for me. And barring one point, one shot, which
we'll get to,
which
that
you'll all have seen.
Yeah, well, we'll get to it and just go over that, just in case you haven't seen it.
Is there any point in covering that on a podcast in any more detail? We're not going to describe it, are we?
Well, that's what I do for a living. But, you know, if you don't like that, that's fine. You're Tellyland. Yeah. the thing is, the start of it, you'd got Kyrgios doing a Rafael Nadal-type sprint out onto the court after the coin toss, which was quite funny, in a way. And then first point of the match, he did a sabre. And then about a game in, he impersonated Roger Federer's serve to Roger Federer. So he basically pulled out all of his party tricks in the first couple of games to show off a bit. And actually, he started playing really well at the start, and he was putting some pressure on Federer. And I think Federer said, I didn't feel like I'd got it at the start.
He was nervous. Federer was really nervous. You could see it on his face. You very rarely see strain on Roger Federer's face, even when you see those high-mo, like the sort of super-duper-duper slow-mos, which they call high-mos, of Roger Federer when they're hitting a shot, and usually that's when you see them pulling some sort of excruciating, like, on-the-toilet-type face. But with Roger Federer, his facial muscles are... Sorry.
That's such a good description. The on-the-toilet face. Sorry. Carry on.
Roger Federer's facial muscles are usually just obscenely relaxed. You can see sort of his cheeks sort of flabbing in as he bounces up and down. But there was tension in his face. He was nervous. And it really settled him to hold from love 40 down. David is corpsing on this podcast.
I'm really struggling to get over the on-the-toilet phase. That's the level of maturity we're talking about here. And Nick Kyrgios brings out the best in us. But talking of Kyrgios, the moment, I mean, Federer ended up winning that set 6-4, didn't he? And he broke right at the end of it with a backhand slice down the line. He just started to work Kyrgios out a little bit. And then Kyrgios had his massive dip. It went 5 love down, and it was ugly. It was uncomfortable viewing. And then in the third set, he kind of did that thing that some of these players do, where he basically just knew it wasn't going to happen, or the chances are not going to win, relaxed a bit, started playing total exhibition tennis, drop shot after drop shot. And the point that we're talking about is he did a little forehand drop shot, kind of fake drop shot, where he's looking one way, playing at the other end. Federer ran it down, all 37 years old of him, and got to the right of the net post, where he couldn't go over the net anymore, and all he could do is poke it down the line about 6 inches off the ground, and he just sort of poked that around the net post and into the open court. I mean, unreal.
You realise that the people that you've just described that to have already seen it on social media 4,000 times already. I mean, that is the extent to which that clip has gone viral. I mean, it's...
My mum's not on social media.
Oh, hello, David's mum. That sort of made it all worthwhile. I retract my comment.
I'm only doing my podcast for my mum.
But yeah, I mean, it's already up there in there. It for me, I can't obviously remember all of the Federer greatest hits. My brother can, because they're all at the top of his recently viewed YouTube videos. But for me, in terms of what I specifically remember, it is second only to the match point tweener.
Oh, yeah, that was here, wasn't it? Yeah. Against Novak Djokovic. And actually, he was asked, was Roger Federer, about some of his greatest shots. You could just imagine the collar going up and the peacock.
Yeah, let me get out my little black book of amazing shots that I myself have performed, which I carry around in my back pocket.
And that we'll now proceed to read out to you, one of which was the smash off the smash against Andy Roddick down the line for a clean winner in Basel in about 2001. He also, he's going back 17 years there. He also detailed a shot he'd hit against Agassi in Dubai that nobody else could remember, but Roger could.
That's amazing.
He goes, to this day, I don't know how I did it.
But I think about it every day.
A little flick, and I was delighted. So Federer, I mean, but we joke, and we're teasing him a little bit, but the fact is that was a thoroughly professional performance, and what really struck was how, after he'd played that shot, one of the beauties of it, and this is where Kyrgios is, you know, you can't help but warm to him a little, is the way he looked down the other end, and he sort of had this look of shock in his face and wanted to talk about it to Roger Federer. He wanted to engage Federer at that moment in an exhibition type way, and Federer just turned his back and walked off, because it's the US Open, mate.
He allowed himself a tiny little smile, though, didn't he, Roger Federer? Just almost a smirk.
Yes.
I mean, oh, Nick Kyrgios, I mean, it was...
We're not getting very far, are we, with Nick Kyrgios at the moment?
And almost, this felt like a particular step back, because it wasn't an incredibly tight, brilliant match where he was brilliant, where he just lost, and it wasn't a tanking performance. It was just he's sort of mostly trying really hard and he's not good enough performance, and we don't really know what to do with that with Nick Kyrgios. We can't sort of fit it into our Nick Kyrgios narrative, so... Yeah, I don't know what to do with what we saw from Nick Kyrgios today. I do think Roger Federer, he takes a real pride in the legacy he knows that he's leaving for the sport. He's, you know, all of his Rolex adverts are about his tennis and sporting legacy, aren't they? They trade off that completely. I mean, obviously that's what that brand is all about, but that's why he fits in with the brand. And, you know, that's all about his class and his sportsmanship and all the rest of it. I mean, how many years has he won the ATP Sportsmanship Award? I think he has a glint in the eye like for Nick Kyrgios in the way that we all do. I don't think he dislikes him, but equally, I think he was keen to show him up in terms of class today, to put him in his place and say. Well, everyone's telling you you're good for tennis, but actually, this is what's good for tennis. Somebody being classy and sportsmanlike and doing things the right way. This is what's good for tennis.
And winning relentlessly, and having the titles to prove it. And actually, Kyrgios was asked afterwards what do you think you could learn from Roger Federer? And he was, I mean, very respectful. You know, he said we're different people, but, you know, the way he carries himself. And I think Kyrgios knows. He does know what he doesn't do in the world.
He's very self-aware. You know, he doesn't have a coach because he knows he wouldn't listen. He knows there's plenty of valid things that a good coach could tell him that could make him into a Grand Slam champion. But if he also knows if he's not prepared to listen, there's just no point. So he's nothing if not self-aware.
Mm. Roger Federer has now got John Millman of Australia. Lovely bloke. It's, good, hard-working player.
It's a good fourth-round draw, though, isn't it? He is the loveliest bloke.
You'd take that.
You'd take that. I mean, Roger Federer said in his post-match interview, said, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm the heavy favourite for that match. Unsolicited. And there's also that thing, he mentioned the fact that he invited him out to Dubai to train with him, sort of already, you know, setting the stage for the master and, you know, the organ grinder and monkey type scenario. Poor John Millman.
Yes, I suspect that's only going one way. But hey, it's a competitive tennis match. We'll see what happens. And if he gets through that, it could be Novak Djokovic, who is currently handling Richard Gasquet fairly comfortably.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We've had a load of shocks today. A load of shocks. We've lost Alexander Zverev. We've lost Angelique Kerber. We've just lost Petra Kvitova.
Have we?
Yes. I don't really want to talk about that.
Hang on, no. I think you're... we have. We have. 7-5, 6-1. Sabalenka.
Can we leave it there? This has been the Tennis Podcast, brought to you...
Yeah, so we've lost both the men's and women's fourth seeds. The women's fifth seed. I feel like it doesn't end there. We lost Luca Pui, the 17th seed on the men's side. Kiki Bertens we lost, the women's 13th seed.
Careless, isn't it?
And there's another one, David, there's another one. There definitely has been another upset. Anyway, Kerber and Zverev are the big ones. Kerber, it sounds like a bad loss.
Three sets to Dominic Sabakova, who incidentally stayed in this hotel.
I
saw her the other day. She was having, I was trying to set up for the podcast, and she was almost on it, basically, you know, without meaning to be.
Very interestingly, and spicily, is that a word? In our studio, Greg Rosedsky had picked Kerber to win the title from the outset, and Daniela Hantikova very confidently picked the upset today, picked Sabalenka to beat Kerber in the match. And, you know, people can get little feelings for upsets and no, but she was really confident about it. It really struck me, and she was so confident that it made me believe And by there we go. 6-3 in the third. Sabulkova, who now plays Madison Keys.
Yes, who managed to win against Alexandra Krunic today, who had managed to get through to the third round and win the first set against Madison Keys, despite the fact that she'd only won four games in six sets over the summer to this point. Amazing, really.
But she does this, doesn't she? She does this, well, particularly here at the US Open. She beat Joe Konta last year. She reached, was it the quarterfinals as a qualifier a few years back? So there's something about this place. But I haven't been that impressed by Madison Keys.
Not yet, no.
No, I think she doubts herself. I think she's actually told us that she doubts herself. I don't doubt that she works hard, but
Daniela was scathing actually in your studio about that point, though.
Yeah, well, because I think it's all relative, and our studio position on Prime is we're back onto the practice courts, and Serena Williams is the first player out there every single day. Last night she finished her the match against Venus wasn't a long one, but it was delayed starting. She would have left sight gone midnight probably. She was out there for a 1.5 hour practice at 9:30 the next morning, and there would have been warm up and everything before that, and she was the first one on there, and it wasn't just a light hit to get the feel of the ball, it was a full-on practice session, and she's the only person that always does that. And okay, some people are morning people, you know, maybe, you know, everyone's different, etc., but the consistency with which she does it, you know, it really puts it in focus for you what the difference is between top 10 and number one. Okay, Serena's 17th seed here, but, you know, we know what she really is. I mean, I see Madison Keys on the practice court. She looks like she's working hard. I'm not looking at her thinking, you know, you're lazy and you don't care and all the rest of it. I'm looking at her thinking, you know, jolly good, that looks great. But then I see Serena, and I realize what makes the difference.
Yeah. Now, those other upsets, Kvitova aside, we'll forget about that. Alexander Zverev, we've spent quite a bit of our dinner having a chat about Alexander Zverev, because, it's such a shocking loss, isn't it, to Philipp Kohlschreiber in four sets. It was 6-7. I don't know what the second set score was.
6-4. 6-1, 6-3, and Zverev was 3 love up in that fourth set and lost 6 games on the bounce to lose the match.
And that's happened now in 3 Grand Slams this year, then, because he's lost 2 of them 6 love, and he's lost 6 games in a row today. That's not good enough.
It's not good enough. Even if you think he's a little bit overrated in terms of people bigging up his talent, in terms of mental drop off and mental falling away, that is not good enough, because I believe he's physically strong enough. I do see the work he puts in with
he'd had straight sets wins to this point, so, and we know he's got lots in the tank. If we look back at the French Open, he had 3-5 set match wins in a row, and we were really saying this is a big deal.
Yeah, which, and the fact that it's not physical, you know, there's the technical side of things, but let's be honest, this is largely mental. Okay, there's a question mark over just what his potential is, technically and physically, but we know there is potential there to be doing better than he's doing, and the fact that he's not at this stage is largely mental, which is why I think, even though people were saying Lendl's only been on board a week or so, I thought, actually, just in being there, just that steely Lendl look from the player's box will make a significant difference. Maybe not the Grand Slam winning difference this time, but it will be a big bump up.
And put him in the final.
I didn't put him in the final.
I did.
I did. Oh, right. I also didn't put him losing in the third round to Philipp Kohlschreiber, who stole to the top 50. Great player, lovely one-handed backhand. He's 3-44 against top 10 players. And one of those wins was by retirement. You know, Sasha Zverev should not have been losing that match, certainly not in the manner that he lost it. We've not really, from what I can see, learned anything from his press conference other than that he's really peeved and didn't particularly want to talk to the press. So, and he should be peeved, but yeah. What's Lendl, a hairdryer treatment from Lendl? Have they known one another long enough for him to really come down hard on him? Or does he have to do the, look, Sasha, I'll sort this out for you, don't panic chat? I don't know. I don't think that's Lendl's style.
I would have thought he would have said, don't worry about it. We'll get out there and work on this. Because, look, I'm shocked. I'm really shocked. I did think that Lendl would have a much more immediate impact on him and would make a difference in that regard, and a mental one as well. But I mean, not only the mental side. I watched the whole match and I questioned the tactics. This guy is 6'7" tall, and he doesn't impose himself on a match at slams the way he should. In my view, he should be just not even making an argument. And you may look at Cole Schreiber's performance and say, well, hold on, that's not doing enough justice to how well he played. Because Cole Schreiber was brilliant today. Because the first set and a half was an absolute dogfight. It was an hour and a half for the first set and a half. And it was great to watch in that way. They were just going to and fro. And Cole Schreiber was just digging in and going toe-to-toe with him. But I'm sorry, the guy is 34 years of age. He isn't a huge guy. He's 5'10" tall. He's got a great single-handed backhand. All of these things. But you should not be able to live with a guy of Alexander Zverev's gifts. Size, frame, backhand down the line, huge serve. He just shouldn't have much chance to get into rallies against this guy.
No, but are his gifts exaggerated? Is it the time to start talking about that? I
don't think so, because, I mean, how can he win all these other things?
Well, yeah, I generally agree. Yeah, I do agree. But then I think, okay, so what's the difference between all these other things and the slams? Well, it's best of five sets, but as I say, I believe physically he is there. So then what is it? It's mental. And then I think, well, Lendl should sort that out. So maybe we reserve judgment till Australia. But I tell you what, if this happens in Australia, I will be revising my view.
And I think the reason that we are jumping to such immediate conclusions to some degree are based on Lendl is because when Lendl came on board for Andy Murray reached the semi-finals of the Australian Open and very nearly beat Novak Djokovic. And there was an immediate, tangible difference that you could see. He was going after his forehand. He was not being patient anymore. And that's what I thought we were going to get from Zverev this week. And maybe they had it for two rounds. They didn't have it today. No way. And just a word of congratulations as well for Cole Schreiber. I remember the first time I really saw him play and take notice, and it was when he faced Andy Roddick in the third round of the Australian Open in 2008, 10 years ago, and he beat Roddick 6-4, 3-6, 7-6, 6-7, 8-6 in the fifth set of the Australian Open. It was just a mesmerising match in which Cole Schreiber showed us that single-handed backhand. I think he hit something like 60 winners with it. An amazing performance. And, you know, this might be the sort of twilight of his career victory, you know, because, I mean, they're compatriots. That's a huge deal. So well done, him.
That stat or fact there, or memory, has reminded me of the fact that, and I think this still stands after today, that we've not had a single final set tiebreak this tournament. In the men's, not a single fifth set tiebreak.
No.
After all the hoo-ha at Wimbledon, it's just,
we're going to get a week of them now.
US Open would have thought they were going to get the chance to show off about the fact that we've got final set tiebreaks in the men's, and they've just not been able to do that. It's like first year of the Wimbledon roof when it didn't rain.
Yeah, it's just, you know, inconsiderate, these tennis players.
I remembered what the other big upset was, and it got a little bit lost in the shuffle. I think it happened while Federer Kyrgios was on, but it was Caroline Garcia losing to Carla Suarez Navarro. I have a real soft spot for Carla Suarez Navarro. She's so understated. She's got this unique game. Obviously, the single-handed backhand, so understated. Very rarely hear from her. I don't think she's that confident in her English. But I sort of just root for her a little bit instinctively.
Catherine just did a little sort of punch of the air to emphasise the point.
There's something, I don't know whether it's a really British thing, there's something just sort of intrinsically underdog about her somehow. And she's beaten Caroline Garcia, the sixth seed, Garcia? And Garcia was purring against Jo Konta. I didn't see her second round match, I don't think. Maybe I saw a couple of points, but certainly against Konta, she just looks so effortless. She just looks supreme when she's on. And it wasn't like Garcia just didn't show up today. It was 7-6 in the third, that match. And yeah, Suarez Navarro now is rewarded with a meeting against Maria Sharapova, which means almost certainly an Arthur Ashe Knight session.
Yes, well, yes, because I think the stat is something like 15 wins and 10 defeats in the day session for Sharapova and 20, how many is it?
I think it's 23 now.
23 wins and 0 defeats in the night session. Well, I mean, congratulations for being good in the night. She's but should you be on all the time?
Player at the US Open that's had night session every match so far.
We shall see what happens next for her. She's got Carla Suarez Navarro in the next round. Madison Keys, Sybil Kova, Sabalenka against Naomi Osaka. Imagine the ball hitting in that one. And just tell us a little bit about this record that Osaka has put together this week.
She's won her last three sets 6-love. It's essentially a triple bagel. She's lost 7 games in 3 matches. And she double bageled Alexandra Sasnovic today. There was, as far as I can tell, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because I really feel for Alexandra Sasnovic. I saw her walking off the court and I wanted somebody to go and give her a hug. But I don't think there was anything wrong with her today. I think Osaka just beat her fair and square, love and love. And that is frightening.
That's happened to me a few times, Alexandra. So I know, I understand your pain. I was 100% fit in all of my triple bagel defeats. So I've got nothing to blame it on whatsoever. Any others that we can just bring your attention to? We've had David Goffin win today. We've had Luca Puy lose, the 17th seed. Yeah, he's gone out in 4 sets.
That's not good. It's not good. I mean, I've so much time for Zhao Xu, and never ever gets talked about. He's one of those guys that relentlessly reaches second and third rounds and nobody ever expects him to go any further.
He's in the fourth round this time.
You just put this ceiling on his game. So I'm full of respect for him. But Luca, I mean, since beating Nadal here 2 years ago, I'm not saying he hasn't had moments.
He obviously was won the rubber to get the Davis Cup for France. But as a singles player, yeah, he's underachieved.
Big time underachieved. Big time. And what worries me is how much that loss is hurting him right now. I hope it's hurting him a lot. But I worry maybe it's not. Yeah, that's my concern for him. I think I hope it's hurting, because otherwise it'll keep happening.
Yes, yeah, he looks a little too serene at times, doesn't he, as a player? But anyway, you know, not everybody's the same, but it's for us people that are following the tour all the time, you want to see people fulfill their physical potential and know that they're reaching what they could have reached if they'd given everything. So tomorrow, anything else from today that you really want to talk about?
Nishikori beat Schwartzman 4 sets.
Yeah, that was fun to watch. I didn't see that.
Yeah, a lot of running.
A lot of running. Too much running for my liking. So tomorrow in the Arthur Ashe Stadium at 12 o'clock local time, 5 o'clock UK. Nadal against Basilashvili. It'll be very interesting to see what physical state Nadal is in. Kaya Kanepi, remember when she beat Simona Halep about 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, but she's backed it up. And she's backed it up without anybody, including us, taking any notice. So good for her. Unfortunately, yeah, she faces Serena next.
Yeah, well, I mean, she hits the ball blooming hard, Kaya Kanepi. But Serena's in the form she was in yesterday, forget it. Sloane Stephens against Elise Mertens in the evening session. That could be a good match. And then followed by Juan Martín Del Potro against Borna Coric.
Yes, and I have to say, I mean, I do think Del Potro will win that because I was blown away by him last night. His backhand, better than ever.
Yeah, I mean, actually, he was just belting his backhand one after another, wasn't he? He wasn't even given a thought to hitting a backhand slice.
His topspin backhand was a massive weapon last night against Verdasco. And it was here last year when we had Mary Carrillo on, quoting him as saying, "I miss my backhand." That was 12 months ago.
Those are the days.
Well, I mean, he's got a better backhand now. So, yeah, look, I think Del Potro will win that. However, I'm not basing this on, you know, facile comments about how well he's hitting the ball, but I've seen a lot of Chorich in practice this week. I've seen his results that he's quietly been racking up, straight sets against Daniil Medvedev in the last round. There was another good result in there. There's something different about him. He's working with Riccardo Piatti, isn't he? And I don't know. I know he perhaps doesn't have the weaponry to be a Grand Slam champion, possibly, but there's definitely something different about him.
I just think he's the perfect opponent for Juan Martin Del Potro. He's going to hit the ball hard to him, but it's going to be right in Delpo's wheelhouse.
Yeah, I think Delpo's going to win. I think Delpo could win this whole thing.
I've turned into an American. Have you noticed? All my terminology. It's very good. Louis Armstrong Arena.
Louis. Don't make me go through it. We've been back. We have double, triple, quadruple confirmed this on Prime Video because I don't get it. Like, I mean, it's named after the jazz musician, and he was called Louis Armstrong, as far as I know. But USTA official line is that it's Louis Armstrong. I don't know what to... I know you're looking at me blankly, but I don't know what to tell you.
That's just how I look.
I can't go against the official wording.
I've been accused of blank looks. Right. Yeah, okay. Well, that's true. Louis Armstrong, Dominic Thiem against Kevin Anderson, first up. Then Ash Barty...
One of those weird head-to-heads, isn't it?
Is
it? Dominic Thiem's got an awful head-to-head against Kevin Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's right. Look it up quickly, because I can't remember what it is. And then we've got Ash Barty against Karolina Pliskova, the eighth seed. That could be a good match. Crikey. This will be a long watch. John Isner against Miloš Raonic.
bless him. Greg Rozetsky picked as his match of the day for tomorrow.
Go on, Greg. We're going to put you on that one, mate.
Not that he's got a bias towards big servers or anything.
Greg, you're going to be correspondent.
You can go and commentate on that on your own.
All 5 hours of it. So that's what's happening tomorrow. And we got Sevastova against Svitolina. Have we got that head-to-head just before we go?
6-1 in Kevin Anderson's favour. The one victory... Dominic Thiem got his first victory over Kevin Anderson in Madrid this year on the clay. But before that, Kevin Anderson had a 6-0 record against Dominic Thiem.
Wow.
So, and all of those were on hard courts. So I'm going for Kevin Anderson.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Well, that's all to come tomorrow. We've been the Tennis Podcast. We'll have another one of these tomorrow because we're doing it every day at the US Open. Brought to you in association with The Telegraph. Go and read Simon Briggs' stuff. Make sure you turn your telly on. Or your tablet or your phone or whatever you want, your app, your Amazon Prime Video app, to Catherine's coverage. It's not really Catherine's coverage, it's Prime Video's coverage, in which Catherine's on from 3:30 UK time. She'll be presenting the pre-game show and having a
very American pre-game show.
Pre-game show, woodshed, but beat down. What else did I say earlier?
Definitely don't do accents.
Right. Okay, I'll stay away from accents, folks. That'll be happening tomorrow. And then we are also executive produced by Melody Bowes and Triple S, tennisballs.com. Mascot is Charlie the Ferret. And we are sponsored by the La Manca Club. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.